Good morning. We're so glad you've joined us today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. As we come into the voting season, there's a lot of angst about our political situations and the candidates for the public office and those types of things, and our attempts by our national leaders many times to form governments without God, without the Bible, without the gospel. And so many times we as Christians become disillusioned, and we begin to say, is there any hope? Is there any use to me even voting? Today I'd like to speak with you about voting in the American Republic, because that's exactly what we have, a republic. But we're living in a country that, by and large, does not worship God. In fact, men would rather worship anything other than the God of the Bible. We see that described in Romans chapter 1. The Bible tells us in verse 21 that the nation would know God. That's the way our nation started. God was a very significant person in the founding days of our nation. But then it said in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1 that a nation would reject God. And then in verses 23 and 24, the nation would create its own gods. And then they would create their own moral systems. The Bible says in Romans 1:26 that God gives a nation over to vile affections. And we can definitely see that as the trend is going from heterosexual relationships to homosexual relationships and transgender relationships. And then in verse 27 of Romans chapter 1, it says that there will be some resulting health consequences that would come. And then it finally says, at verse 32, the last verse of Romans chapter 1, that God would judge with justice. Now, we see that happening all around the world. But our problem is we see that happening in our country as well. And when it comes to the opportunity to elect our leaders, God has given us wisdom and direction concerning the purpose for leadership. In fact, the Old Testament law in the Old Testament was given for three distinct purposes. First of all, it was given to convict people of the reality of sin and their need for a Savior. Secondly, it was given to restrain sin in the sinner. And of course, that was to restrain sin in our society. The Old Testament law, thirdly, was designed as a path of obedience to God's ways for all of the believers that were trusting in God. But our country has changed so drastically. Our nation has broken itself off from God's laws and from the gospel, so that there remains no hope of peace or tranquility apart from a revival. And yes, God can bring revival. The Spirit of God can do anything. He can perform miracles. So many times people are asking themselves, why are there so many shootings? Are there too many guns? That's not the answer. It's like asking, why is there so much prostitution? Is there too much money? Yeah, it takes money to advance prostitution. But the problem is not the guns or the money. It's the hearts of our people and our choices. Not what method of retribution that we may choose to get even. It's still a heart issue in our country. It's a spiritual issue. But you see, we've removed all of that from the public forum. That's what you call separation of church and state, which of course was not God's plan for a country. But our government says it's concerned about the conduct of its citizens. It's amazing, it refuses to be concerned about the character of its citizens. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Bible tells us that God can give a nation a new heart. He said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart That's a heart that's not moldable by God's word. He said, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, this is what God can do. This is what God desires to do. But our country, our government, is only concerned about the conduct of its citizens as opposed to the character. You see, the moral condition of our country, that of dealing with rebellion, is the responsibility of a government. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 that it is the responsibility of a government, in verse 3, to be not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And he goes on to say, will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you'll have the praise of the same. For he, that is the governor, that is the governmental leaders, he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You see, it appears to be a spiritual issue, doesn't it? But our country doesn't want to consider spiritual issues. But the Bible calls governmental leaders ministers. Twice in those verses, in Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, he refers to our leaders as ministers. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. So you can see then that God gives our governmental leaders the responsibility to care for the moral condition of our country. And so we see the government is designed by God to punish evildoers. Well, the Bible definitely calls abortion evil doing, but our government is not punishing abortion or those that are promoting it, those that are advocating it. Sometimes people would say, well, would the Bible include homosexuality and transgender identity issues as evil doers? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Now, you see, God is the ultimate ruler of the universe. And all the way through the Word of God, the national prosperity and national decline are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 26, we read in verses 16 to 19, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee. Thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, in name, in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Now, of course, these words were written to the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel was designed to transfer the word of God to the Gentile nations. That would be our nation. We see the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, the question is, can we trust the Lord to deal with blatant promoters of wicked sin? And the answer, again, is yes. So we see in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in all the world at his time, gives his own personal track. And he says, I speak to all the people of all the nations and all languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So we see then that the strongest king of that known world at that point is simply saying, God got my attention. In the following verses, we see in verses 24 to 27 that he was told a prophecy concerning what would happen if he didn't repent and turn to God. Then it goes on to say at the end of the chapter, he did not do that. And so for 7 years, God humbled him, sent him out into the fields to eat grass and to live in the wild. But at the end of Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 to 37, Nebuchadnezzar comes back to his senses. God restores the kingdom to him. What are we seeing? We are seeing that God can deal with blatant promoters of wicked sin. We have the testimony there of Nebuchadnezzar simply saying, God is in control. My Christian friends, God is in control. But what are we to do concerning the opportunities that we have? Are we to vote? I think that's a great question. In fact, the American Family Council has put out an information sheet that simply asks the question, why should a Christian vote? And it goes on to say, maybe you vote, but would rather not do so. Maybe you're just unconvinced that it's the best thing to do. Well, consider this. First of all, it's exciting to be a part of the process ordained by God. That's Romans 13:1. In choosing the leadership of our state, our city, and our national government. You see, when you vote, you don't just vote for one person for one office. You vote for leadership for our city, for our state, and for our nation. Secondly, God placed us in this country as both Christians and citizens to make a difference for good, out of love for our family and our neighbors. Thirdly, we need to be people of both prayer and action. We pray that God will put good men and women in places of leadership, and then we go out and cast a vote. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so consequently, we have to put our faith in God to work. Number four, we should vote because it's both a responsibility and a privilege of good citizenship. And then next, we're responsible for being good stewards of the finances God provides us. And when we vote, we are choosing individuals who will determine how those tax dollars that we earned and paid are spent, whether for good or for bad. Why would you not want to have that kind of an influence? Next, your vote is one of the significant ways that we voice our values. Now, if you want some fantastic information to help you to know how to vote, let me give you a website. It will tell you all of the stands, all of the convictions, all of the values of everybody running for office in this election. Write it down. It's wifa.ivoterguide.com. It is a tremendous blessing and a tremendous help. And so as you consider how you should vote, vote intelligently. That website again is wifa.ivoterguide.com. May God bless you, and may God bless our nation.